What am I going to do for the rest of my life? Where should I go to school? Who should I marry? Should I marry? Should I take this job? Is there something better on the horizon? Life is a never-ending series of choices. How can we know whether we are making the right choices? Should we call the psychic hotline? Do we go with what the experts are saying? Should we stick to our guts? Should we look to the stars or seek the maker of the stars? Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me and I will answer you, and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known." John 8:47, Jesus says, whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason you do not hear them is that you are not of God. John 16:13 says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come." Are you gleaning a promise from Scripture? God will answer. He will declare. He will speak to and guide us. Time and time again throughout the Word of God, we are promised that we would be able to hear his voice. But that begs the question, how often should we be hearing from God? Church, when is the last time you felt confident that you heard the voice of God? This morning I would like to teach on hearing the voice of God. What does God's voice sound like? How can we know it's him? How can we train our spiritual ears to hear him better? One of the greatest benefits to having a personal relationship with Jesus, I think, is that we can communicate directly with God. But praying to God and hearing from God are not the exact same thing. And while it might be easy for us to speak to him, many Christians agree that it's not always easy to hear his voice. But I don't believe this is the way it was intended to be. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, we didn't make it very far into the history of man. We have this verse. It says, "They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." There was an intimacy. They could literally hear God walking with them. And I believe God is desiring that for us today, that because of sin, he had to pull back, but that was not his desire. I believe God wants to communicate to all of his children. So I want to get into that. Let's first begin in John chapter 8 this morning. John chapter 8. I haven't decided if we're going to make this into two messages or one. I've got a lot of material to get through, so Lord willing, we'll just see how far we get this morning. John chapter 8. Here Jesus is speaking to a crowd of Jews. They didn't accept that he was God. And so they were looking to kill him. But he knew this, and he continued to speak over their head in sort of a parable or a metaphor. John chapter 8. I'm going to begin in verse 43. He says, "Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word." Skip to 45. He says, "But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me." And verse 47 says, "He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God." So Jesus is saying that if you are a true follower of God, you could hear Jesus' words. You could understand what he is saying. So first, I want you to note that if we are to recognize God's voice, we must belong to him. And I don't believe this passage is about effectual call, as some describe it. Some people hold on to this passage and they say, well, Jesus has only called some people, and only those that respond are the ones that he is programmed, if you will, predestined to be his followers. Those are the ones that he's talking about. But I don't believe that. I think rather Jesus is saying that some don't accept his words. They don't accept that he is God. And he's making the point that the true sheep are the ones that recognize his voice. Those believers, we believers that understand God's word, that we have a choice, we have to be able to believe in God. That's what he's talking about, I believe. In other words, the fact that you are following after Christ, the fact that you are choosing to follow after Christ means that you've heard God's voice. See, I can't get you saved. The best I can do is explain to you what God's word has to say about how to be saved. But I can't make that decision for you. I could speak the words of God. That's really all we do when we preach, isn't it? We're preaching the word of God. We're communicating that very message that we've heard. Where did we hear it? Well, hopefully from the word of God. Maybe from a minister of the word of God who is speaking the words of God. See, faith comes by you don't inherit salvation because you believe the words of man. You inherit salvation when you believe on the words of God. Now flip over to chapter 10 of John. Here Jesus says something similar but stronger. John chapter 10, we're going to look at verse 25. It says, he then answered, that's verse 9, or chapter 9. 10, 25, try again. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. He says, my sheep hear my voice. He didn't say his sheep can hear, might be able to hear. You should be able to hear. He makes an emphatic statement. He said, my sheep do. They will. They hear. They hear my voice. Beloved, if you have put your faith in Christ Jesus, then you have already heard from God once, at least once in your life. And I think that we have this idea, you know, I'm a new believer, or, you know, you come to Christ, you know, and you're not sure what God's voice sounds like, and we sort of imagine this really, you know, grand thing, when in reality the fact that you are sitting here today and you're in love with Christ Jesus means you've heard God speak to you. And so I want us to not ignore that God can speak to us in you know, really powerful ways, very clear ways, but I want us to understand that it's a still small voice, is that we've already done it, and this is the voice that we've got to get in tune with. See, I think the reality is that we all hear from God more than we think. The problem is that we don't realize it's Him. In the midst of all the voices and messages that we take in every day, it's hard sometimes to pick out God's voice from it all, especially if we're not spending any time with Him. I think, and I would actually argue that there are three main voices that we would hear on a regular basis. Number one, our own flesh. Our own flesh can scream pretty loudly at times, especially when we're under pressure or we want something very badly. Have you ever, you know, you've probably heard about the proverbial Christian boy that goes to the most beautiful girl at church, the Lord told me to marry you. As if he's doing her a favor, right? Boys, that's most likely your flesh. If the Lord tells you to marry someone, you better keep that to yourself. It's a personal message, not a manipulation tactic. The Lord told me to go buy a motorcycle. I've heard this one before. The Lord told me that you were going to, Dave Ramsey was sharing this. I saw this online recently. Someone came into Dave Ramsey's headquarters, and he went up to Dave, and he met him, shook his hand. He said, the Lord told me that you're going to buy me a van. So the first voice that we have to be aware of is our own flesh, okay? The second is that the world also clamors for our attention, which I would really argue falls under the jurisdiction of the devil. The prince of the power of air rules with restrained power over the world. In 1 John chapter 4, in the context of testing spirits, John writes this. He says, they are from the world, these spirits. Therefore, they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. So the world is really under jurisdiction of the spiritual realm, Satan himself. And so I would say they're not one and the same, but they're sort of both under, they fall under the worldly voices that you may hear really fall under the devil. And so while the world does worldly things because they listen to the spirits of the devil, we should be mindful that that is not our flesh. It's not the same thing as our flesh. The devil's trying to bring you down to destruction. He is known as the father of lies. He's a great deceiver of the world. And so he's going to whisper in your ear pretending to be God. Nothing that comes out of his mouth is truth. And so just as a freebie here, hold it up to the word of God. That's how we test the spirits. Is this pastor preaching the word? Hold it up to the word of God. That's why it's important for you to know the word of God. Because you can't test what I'm saying if you don't bring your Bibles, if you don't look at it in Scripture yourself, if you're not making sure what I'm saying is truth, or any person for that matter. Know your word. That's how we test the spirits. And thirdly, there's the voice of God, the voice of the Holy Spirit. John 16:13, Jesus says, he, the Spirit of truth, comes. He will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. So we have this helper, the Parakletos, given to us, that he might live inside of us, guide us in all truth, but speak to us personally and directly. So, Pastor, how do we know which voice I'm hearing? I know this may sound like a cop-out, but we must have our spiritual ears exercised and trained to hear God's voice. Hebrews 5:14 says, but solid food belongs to those that are full of age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In other words, the more we listen for the voices, the more we follow after the good voice and do the right thing, the more we follow after the bad voice and make mistakes and recognize it, we will train and discern what God's voice really is. It's by practicing, by reason of use, that we're able to discern God's voice from our flesh, from the devil and the world. Now, on a more practical note, I think we often mistake the voice of the Lord for our own thoughts. Many of us hope for flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder, fire, smoke, earthquakes. The clouds would open up, angels sing, there'd be trumpet blasts, and all this is going to go on and make us sit up and say, okay, God, you've got my attention. But in my experience, which granted, we all have different experiences, maybe you get that on the regular, I don't know. The Lord doesn't shout from heaven with an audible voice. He doesn't say, Eric, I want you to do this. Eric, don't do that. But instead, he impresses upon my spirit to do something. And then your spirit says, I think I should do this. It's quite hard to describe. But in John, hopefully as we go through this, I'll give you a few examples. We can kind of make more sense of this. In John chapter 4, verse 24, Jesus tells us that God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In other words, I believe proper worship is spirit to spirit. Our spirit man to the spirit. That's proper worship. Worshiping with your head is not real worship that the Lord is looking for. That's what the old covenant was about. And Jesus came and he's saying, you don't have to worship in the temples. He's talking to the woman at the well. You don't have to worship on this mount, you Samaritans. You can worship even now in spirit. It's about your spirit, man, your heart, if you will. We sort of use those interchangeably, although I think they're different. He's saying proper worship's not brain to brain. It's not even mouth to ear. It's spirit. You can worship without even making a noise. Your spirit is worshiping God, the Spirit. So the spirit is not the same thing as your mind, your thoughts. Paul writes in Romans chapter 9, verse 1, he says, I'm telling the truth in Christ, I am not lying. My conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit. He says in 1 Corinthians 14, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the mind also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the mind also. Clearly, the Apostle Paul understands that the conscience or the mind is different and separate from the Spirit. They're not the same thing. Oh, how I wish I could explain this better. You ever have an idea, but you know you didn't come up with it in your mind? Like, oh, I don't know where that came from. That is probably the Spirit of God. Twice last week, I had to repent for disobeying the Lord. I had an inner thought, don't do that. Which, in both situations, I chalked up as my worrisome, and actually, I had another one last night. I told Brittany, I said, I think that was the Lord again. He's like preparing me for this message by pointing out all the times I'm failing him. Each of these times, these three times, I chalked up as just my worrisome brain. It was like this little voice that said, don't do that. And I just ignored it, okay? But I believe it was actually the Holy Spirit trying to get my attention to save me the headache, to save me from heartache. In disobedience, I ignored God's voice. Here's what I did. I'll just give you one example. I had bought some concrete. It's going to sound like a really simple thing. And it is. But I believe this shows how much God cares. I bought some concrete, and I had planned to keep it in the back of the van until I needed it. I was putting some 4x4 posts in the ground, and I needed some concrete for the corner posts. And I was just going to leave it in there. It's fine. I didn't want it to get wet. But it just so happens that I also had bought some chicken feed. And so I backed up the van to the chicken coop. I didn't want to carry these heavy bags of concrete as well because that's where I needed them. So I just unloaded everything right there. And I heard this little impression in my spirit, don't do that. And I hadn't checked the weather. It hadn't rained in 3 weeks, right? The voice, it wasn't my intellect. It wasn't my experience or anything like that. Wouldn't you know, we had thunderstorms that night. I mean, it rained so hard that it kept me up. I mean, it was just coming down, an absolute downpour. And I believe God was trying to protect me, and I mistook his voice as that of my flesh. And I think a lot of time people don't hear God speak to them because they're listening for this inner audible voice. Eric, don't unload the concrete. And well, you know, God can speak like that at times. I'm sure he does. I found that usually he speaks to me through this spontaneous thought, a vision or feeling, an impression, I'll call it. It's like a quiet voice in your head, but it's not from your head. And I don't know how else to describe it, but like that. I don't know if you've experienced this. Most of us probably have been, you've been driving down the road, right? And you have a thought come to you to pray for a certain person. You ever had that? Anyone ever had that feeling? And didn't you believe in that moment that it was God telling you to pray? Right? You didn't question it. That's not, oh, I should pray because I'm so brilliant and I came up with this wonderful idea. I'm so spiritual, I think I should pray for this person right now. No, in the moment you recognize God is talking to me and he's told me to pray. The Lord has put this person in my heart. We'll even say that, right? You'll text someone and say, God placed you on my heart. How are you? I just want to let you know I'm praying for you. Right? Well, what does his voice sound like in that moment?
Eric, I want you to pray for Kathy.
No. It's just this, pray for Kathy. It's just this quiet impression. It's not an audible voice always. It's a spontaneous thought in my mind. Perhaps you've been stirred in the middle of the night to pray for someone. You weren't having a bad dream. It's not like, you know, you were doing anything wrong. And you just wake up. Somebody on your heart. And you just know in your spirit, the Lord wants me to pray for this person, or call this person, or write this person, or whatever. I believe in those times, it's the Holy Spirit talking to us through our spirit, prompting us to pray. And that is how I believe most often God speaks to us, speaks to me. It's this quiet, still impression. And it's very easy to miss and to ignore. But that's what we need to work on. The thing is, I think that the more times stuff like this happens, the more likely we are going to recognize his voice. just like my wet bags of concrete. The fact that I can pinpoint that God was trying to warn me, even though I disobeyed, the fact that I recognize that was God's voice looking backwards will only better prepare me for the next time it comes. I hope that makes sense. You see, if I try to rationalize every idea as my own, not realizing that God is in fact speaking to me, then I'm never going to begin to listen for his voice. But if I can stop in this moment and say, if there's a shift in our thinking this morning and saying, you know what? God does speak to me. He tells me to pray for people. He tells me to go read my scripture. He tells me to do these things, to turn here when I have no reason to. Then if I recognize that God can speak to me in those quiet times, maybe he's speaking to me a whole lot more than I realize. And that's the attitude that I want us to walk away with this morning, that we would leave knowing that God is speaking to us much more than we think. Beloved, if you're not listening for God, you may never hear him speak. We have got to be actively listening for God. God, are you speaking to me? Not just waiting for him, not for waiting for something to be obvious, but listening, stopping. God, what would you say to me right now? You see, I think the biggest obstacle to hearing from God is that most people are imploring God to speak to them when it's our hearing that needs to be adjusted. Let me say this another way. God is speaking to us more often than we realize, but we are rarely in tune with him. Just as radio and television, they are broadcasting 24/7. You can tune in. TV did not used to be that way, and I didn't know this until recently. Was it 11 o'clock TV would shut off? 12 o'clock? 12? Yeah, I didn't know that was a thing. So, yeah, I'm talking about modern times, Louis. Don't chuckle at my my analogy. Radio, as of now, TV, it's broadcasting, right? And you have a transmitter, you have a receiver, and you can turn it on and you can dial in at any time you want. The message is there. It fills the airways. And I think God is the same way. He's online and he's transmitting, I'm going to be bold and say this, 24/7. Filling the airways with all kinds of communication. It's not always go pray for that person. Sometimes it's just comfort or peace or truth, his word. You know, you can just dial into God and he'll just speak his scripture over you. That's the Spirit of God speaking to your spirit, the things that you've read before. He will bring, what do you think it means when he says he will bring to remembrance those things that he's already said? You can read a verse in the Bible and the Holy Spirit will just remind you of it, even though you had no business knowing it. It's supernatural. This is what God is. I want us to elevate our faith and our perception of what he's trying to do to us. See, the thing is, we can only hear from God when we turn the receiver on and tune in. And I think many believers have this misconception that God isn't talking to them, but in reality, he's waiting for your attention. We have a hard time staying tuned into the right channel for more than a minute at a time. And God forbid a commercial break comes on. Flip channels. That's boring. Right? God, you haven't said anything for 3 minutes. I'll come back and check on you soon. Then you get distracted with another show, right? We finally do tune into the right channel all too often. We become the transmitters, don't we? How often do we come to God hoping to hear from him, but all we do is we bring our requests, we bring our problems, our details, we pour it out, we lay it all down at his feet. But see, I think communicating to God is much more like a walkie-talkie than it is a cell phone. We've got that push-to-talk button held down. Lord, I'm all done with my prayer request now, over. Oh, one more thing, God, I forgot to tell you about blank. Over. God, are you still there? Over. Can you hear me now? And we just got this button held down a whole time, and God is, he can't transmit, or he is transmitting, but we can't receive it because we're interrupting him with our talking. Beloved, do you really want to hear from God? Then make sure that you are listening. I think we miss most of God's messages because we aren't actually trying to hear him. Oh, I think we all want to hear from him. But that's not the same thing as trying to hear from him. Let me give you a comparison. How many of us want God to work through us like he did Paul? Awesome, right? Miracles, signs, wonders, boldness, just absolute confidence in God, the understanding that he had of the Bible. Yet, are we willing to do what it takes to get there? Are we committed to practically memorizing the Bible, or at least the Old Testament? Are we willing to let go of the idea of marriage and children so that we could get alone with God more, that we could evangelize better? Are we committed to being alone with God for 3 years in a desert? Oh, and then we've got, you know, three times beaten, three shipwrecks, stoned, starved, imprisonment. Listen, I'm not trying to imply that we, in order to be best used of God, we need lots and lots of trials and tribulation. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this. I think that when push comes to shove, most of us are probably only interested with the glamorous side of the Apostle Paul than we are with all of it that comes together. We want to be used like Paul, but are we really willing to receive everything that God has for us? The same goes to hearing from God. I think we all want to hear from God, like Moses, like Samuel, like Jesus. I wonder, O believer, if you're willing to do what it takes to get there. So real briefly, because I still have a lot that I could do, I want to speak to quickly three practical things that we can do to tune in better to God's voice. If I want to position myself to hear from him better, Pastor, what can I do? The first order of business in hearing the voice of God is, number one, spend time with him. The more time you spend with a shepherd, the easier you will recognize his voice. Samuel didn't recognize God's voice because he had never heard it before. Samuel heard the voice of God, but he did not recognize it as God until he was instructed by Eli. And it took three times and someone else pointing it out that that's the voice of the Lord. Maybe there's something in your life that God has spoken to you and you're not sure if this is God or not. Go seek out some advice. I don't know what to do in this situation. Get alone with God. Say, God, is that you? Here I am. Speak to me. Start by reading his word. You will get to know the shepherd best by his word. Increase in your devotional life. Oh, I want to hear from God, Pastor. I wish I could hear from God more. Oh, I wish I could understand scriptures like you do. Get alone with God and read his word. You got the same Holy Spirit as any pastor. There's nothing special on my life. I've got the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and it's available for you too. Get alone with the word of God. Ask him to speak to you. The best way, I think, to get to know God is by reading about him in his word. The things that he does, the things that he likes, the things that he hates. You wouldn't believe how often I'm reading the word of God. I'm minding my own business, right? And God speaks to me. Seriously, I mean, if you're serious about hearing God's voice, read scripture. Read until you hear. I mean, like long portions. You know, after like 4 or 5 chapters, you start to check out a little bit. Read 10 or 15 more. Read until you get to a point where you're just like reading and you're not even sure you're processing. I promise you, your spirit is. And you can get to this place where God will speak to your spirit because you're doing it in obedience. Yeah, it takes effort, but that may be what's required for your breakthrough. Number two, I'm going to spend some time here. You can turn to Habakkuk. It's just before Matthew, a few little books before Matthew. Number two, be still and know that he is God. Oh boy, how we run into the presence of God with our list of items. We forsake worship and adoration, our sacrifice of praise. We run to the altar, we blurt out all the things that we want, all of our baggage, and we walk away feeling a little bit lighter because we dumped our load off at Christ's feet. And yet, I don't know that we are ever truly refreshed because we did all the talking. But see, if you want actual improvement in your life, if you want actually to hear from God and what He is saying to you, why not rest and be quiet for a little while? Habakkuk chapter 2, or you can call it Habakkuk if you like. I'm going to begin in verse 1. It says, I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart, and I will keep watch to see what He will speak to me, and how I may reply when I am reproved. Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. What does a prophet do to ensure that he can hear from God? He puts himself firstly on guard duty. I will stand on my guard post and I will station myself on the rampart. I've never had to stand guard in a military setting, but the implication is that you're looking for signs of the enemy. It's quiet, you aren't engaged in warfare or firefight, yet you're watching for signs of impending attack. I was doing a little bit of research on this week, and it's considered one of the most mentally challenging and despised tasks a soldier is required to do. Being on stag, another name. Quote, maintaining vigilance in all weathers, day and night, to maintain the security of their position requires complete discipline and professionalism. Beloved, how badly do you want to hear from God? Are you ready to endure night watch in order to hear from Him? Are you prepared to fight your body's natural inclination to sleep and rest in order to hear from God? Are you able to sit still and listen for the voice of God for hours on end? That's the picture I see here. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Or literally, cease striving and know that I am God. It says, another way to say it is, let me alone. Be alone and know that I am God. Be still. Church, there is a stillness that is often present when God speaks to us. In other words, our busyness often gets in the way from us hearing from God. If you're serious about hearing from God, get still. Just be still before Him and quiet. Habakkuk said, I will keep watch to see what He will speak to me. There's a confidence that God is going to speak to him. I believe that's noteworthy for us. Church, when's the last time you sat still and you were quiet in God's presence? You were confident that He was going to speak to us. We overload ourselves with so much that we drown out God's voice. The average Christian's lifestyle is so busy that we don't even take time to simply listen for God's voice. For example, what's your typical answer to this question, how are you doing? Most of us probably answer something like, I'm good, I'm fine. Oh, great, I'm busy, life's busy. We won't even take the time to be truthful. And yet I think we treat God the same way. Is that we get so caught up in our busyness of our own schedules and the things that have to be accomplished that when God is wanting to speak to us, we're not even truthful before Him. We can't even take time just to sit still and say, God, this is how I'm doing, and then wait for His response and His counsel and His encouragement. Beloved, I mean this in love. If you barely have time to give God all your requests, when are you ever really listening for Him? I love to mow. I really do. I don't like to weed eat. Don't mistake that. They're not the same thing. I like to mow on a riding lawnmower, not a push mower. I should say that I like to ride on lawnmowers. That's what I should have said. I can basically mow with my brain turned off. It's a wonderful time. I don't know if ladies are able to do this. I think there's a longstanding joke between men and women that men can go to their nothing box, right? You can just absolutely just turn it all off. and recharge. It's great. Women, you got things going on. That's, you know, I'm generalizing, lots of things, and you can't just settle down your mind. That's how my wife is. You know, every night she's like exhausted. I'm so tired. She lays down and then she's just, woo! A million miles a minute, all the things she's thinking about. Like, chill out. I thought you were tired. Can't we just relax? Well, I can do it when I'm mowing. It's wonderful. I get alone with God. I'm mowing. Hours on end. And I can't tell you how many times the Lord has given me whole portions of my message while my brain is off. Just sit down. Be still. You can do something and have God speak to you. Get with God. Turn off your brain and listen for the Spirit. Notice this last phrase of verse 1. It says, and how may I reply when I am reproved? See, I think there's a, we need an approach, we need to approach God with humility and reverence. We need to be aware that there's sin and things in our lives that are not right. Sometimes God might have to deal with those things in our life first. You know, it's not all peaches and cream, roses and petunias. God's, you know, you're like seeking an answer about what you should be doing next in your life, and you know what God's saying? Hey, Eric, I want you to repent from that sin. Are you willing to listen to all that God has for you, not just the good stuff? When God speaks to this prophet, verse 2, do you notice what he told him? I think there's some practical application here. Record the vision and inscribe it on tablets. Church, I want to encourage you that when God does speak to you, write it down. For one, it's going to bolster your faith. You see, the devil will try to convince you that God never said it. You made that up. That was your flesh. God didn't mean that. You misunderstood. That never happened. But if you've written it down, you can go back and you can remind yourself that on this day, God said this, and you've got to be specific with the details. See, you can remember what God speaks to you, and then you can, it'll help you to be patient for the day that his word will be fulfilled. God's word will not fail. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? He says, my word that proceeds from my mouth will not return to me empty, but I will accomplish what I please, and it will prosper where I send it. For I, the Lord, will speak, and whatever word I speak will be performed. Remember that God does not always act on our timeline. Have you noticed how some of the prophecies of God take thousands of years to come to fruition? And so writing down what God speaks to us is useful so that we can reread them and remind ourselves of what he has promised. Record the vision, inscribe it on tablets. It'll bolster your faith. You'll go back and you'll know, I have heard from God. I do hear from God. He spoke this to me. And number 3, lastly and very briefly, I would say ask the Holy Spirit to help you hear. How many times have you actually asked God to show you something? We expect God to just, the clouds to break forth and him just to speak while we're minding our own business. But how many times have you gone out of your way to listen to God? I'm not talking about thinking in your mind or wishing in your heart. Have you cried out to God, Lord, speak to me? Have you wrestled with the blessing? Have you fasted for him to speak? Lord, I need to hear from you. Are you willing to starve yourself for an answer? See, the thing is, most of the time we think that we're doing well when we remember to go to God in crisis. But in actuality, we ought to be asking him to speak to us all the time. In worship, during devotions, during prayer meetings, during the sermon, on your way to work, while at work. God, would you speak to me? Lord, turn pastor's message into something good. Speak to me in the middle of it. Lord, while I'm minding my own business at work, inputting this data, would you show me yourself? Would you reveal yourself to me? Show me someone that I can pray for. Show me how to answer this question, this hard task. Would you speak to me, God? As you walk into the grocery store, would you ask, Lord, I want to hear from you. Before I take another step, I'm not moving until you speak to me, God. I can see, I just envision Curtis doing that. Curtis is like right at the sidewalk. He's just waiting for God. Be like Curtis. Curtis, I don't know if you do that, but good job if you do. Listen, you don't even have to tell those people that you're praying for them when you pass them. You can. If the Lord tells you to, that's great. But you know, the Lord can say, I want you to pray for this person. And you can just bless them in the Spirit as you walk past. It doesn't. You don't have to really shake your boldness. You don't have to test it. If you're bold enough to do it, great. You should. And if God tells you to, you definitely should. Oh, that we might be more intentional with every moment. We have 24 hours in a day. How much of it do we spend listening to God? Why is it that we think prayer is more important? Oh, that we would hear directly from Him. I think listening to God is just as important, if not more important, than praying to Him. Church, I want you to know that God desires to commune with you. He wants you to be so full of the Spirit that you might converse with the Spirit throughout your day, your entire day. God is not distant. He is here. He's present. His Spirit lives inside of us. Take advantage of this great blessing of Christ. Get to know His voice and allow Him to guide you, to teach you, to remind you. What a privilege it is to believe on God and that He gives His Spirit to us that He can speak directly to us. I hope that you will not disregard this great blessing.